Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Jamie Stang with the University of Minnesota Department of Public Health.
Also people that will figure out how to make a profit on what research is being done. So what are you guys doing there?
Well, a lot of our work is population-based, so it's a little, we're all over the place. A lot of obesity prevention, that's one of our big pushes in the Division of Epidemiology and Community Health. But we're also doing a lot of work around food access and this idea of the food deserts. How do you make sure that everybody has access to healthy food and that it's the least refined, sort of most healthy options you can? We've been doing a lot of work with corner stores and convenience stores in some of the urban neighborhoods where they really don't have a grocery store for many miles. There's not good access to a grocery store. People who live in urban areas often don't own vehicles, and it's hard to transport all your groceries on a bus. This idea of trying, instead of having to get people to travel, you know, borrow a car from, or, you know, do kind of carpools with people once or twice a month to drive out to a suburb to get food. How do we get that food into the city? And so really trying, and produce in particular, dairy, things that are very perishable are hard for corner stores to want to use. So we've been working a lot with them in terms of how can we maximize their profit that they can make and minimize their losses for that. But then also for people who've lived in that, grown up in that, how do we help them realize that this is good quality produce and good quality dairy? And so I think there's a lot to be done in terms of really thinking about how do we, rather than having people figure out how to get to food, how do we get food into those neighborhoods, into those places? I think mobile markets are a very underutilized method of bringing food in, and food can be brought in directly from farmers and directly from the growers into these communities for people to get it, sort of cutting out some of that issue of by the time it gets to the grocery store and it's been sitting there for 10 days, it doesn't look very good anymore. So really thinking along the lines of access and what does that mean, and maybe the models that we have out there of making people do the majority of the work aren't going to work anymore. Maybe as businesses, we need to think about how do we create a market and create the access for people in our communities.
I've been following the urban garden trend for the past, I don't know, 10 years. I actually have a garden in my basement. I grow my own produce in my basement. Unfinished basement? Well, guess what? It's a garden now. And it's been great. You know, I can just go down, cut a salad, and that sort of thing. Are you finding that there is more farmers markets and more of these urban gardens that are entering into the areas to satisfy the issue that you just talked about?
Yeah, so actually I am a certified master gardener at the University of Minnesota as well. So that's one of my passions, was sort of my hobby, and now it's sort of crossing into my work. Yeah, I think gardening is really taking off. We are getting just a tremendous interest. I think part of it is there's more community gardens available, so people who may not be able to grow in their backyard because they have too many trees or don't have enough land, but they can get a plot for $25 in their neighborhood. And I think one of the biggest benefits of community gardening that we don't talk a lot about is it creates a sense of community and social capital. You know, people are often very disconnected from neighbors and in their community, but if you bring everybody to a garden, they start to get to know other people, and it renews this sense of community. So I think that's an important piece. I do think that there's just this idea of whole foods. We want to know what's in our food. We want to know where our food comes from. So different from where we were in the 60s and 70s when it was space food and Tang. And, you know, what did Tang have to do with orange juice anyway? But a lot of people grew up on that. So to see young people really want to know where their food comes from, I think makes me feel a lot better about the next generation. I do think that there is going to need to be a lot more local, you know, so we talk about like farmers markets and things. Local foods are important. In our climate, it's really difficult. You can't grow a lot of that stuff. But communities can have, so if you look at a place like Milwaukee, they have some great hydroponic things where they actually have the fish in the water, they're hydroponically growing plants, and you can essentially feed an entire neighborhood off of a couple of city blocks. And those kinds of projects, yes, they're going to require some innovation, some people willing to sort of put up the money up front. But I think, again, that sense of community, revitalizing communities, keeping people in those communities, it pays off in the long run. It's just a matter of getting people to think of it because it's a different model than what we're used to of just going to the grocery store, thinking about how we can do that within our own communities.
It's interesting you brought that up. I see the urban gardens and the tilapia farm, fish emulsion gardens, if you want to call it that, springing up more and more. In fact, I was even seeing kiosks. They're little mini greenhouses in grocery stores that are kiosks. So you walk into this little mini grocery store that's about the size of maybe two dinner tables, and that's what's in there is this fresh-grown produce that it's like a little micro farmer's garden at the grocery store, so it's kind of neat. Another thing I wanted to mention was when you brought up the Tang, I kind of chuckled because I just recently read The History of Kool-Aid, and initially it was Kool-Aid, K-O-O-L-A-D-E. But the FDA said, well, you're not real food, so you got to be AID. And so, that, you know, when you brought up the Tang, I laughed because I'm going, yeah, well, that's true. We were a bunch of, chemical food is essentially what it was. So final word, I like to give guests the final word to go whatever direction they want to go. If they want to reiterate something or you want to bring something new or you just want to say whatever's on your mind. So the floor is yours.
Yeah, you know, I think the main thing is there's a lot of confusing information out there about nutrition. You can read a million studies, and it's about one food or one ingredient or whatever. But in the end, we eat food, not nutrients, not single foods. We eat food as a meal. And so really thinking about how do you balance enjoying food, you know, really having a meal that you enjoy. You don't have to go crazy about no fat or no sugar or no salt, but it's about really thinking about it as a whole. And looking at your plate and saying over, you know, the day or the week, this really has balanced out. It doesn't mean that we have to deprive ourselves. And I think we get so much into this, we have to deprive ourselves of everything that's good to be healthy. It makes people just want to go out and eat everything that we're not, promoting. So really to think about it as it's about sustaining your life and treating yourself well, but also, you know, moderating yourself. Yes, you can have ice cream, you just shouldn't have it every day. Yes, you can have, broccoli, and you should have broccoli. And thinking about where the broccoli comes from and buying it as local as you can, it's really a balancing act. And there's not a one-size-fits-all diet for anybody. It's about doing what's right for you and your community, what makes you feel good, what improves your own health.
To listen to the full-length interview with Jamie Stang with the University of Minnesota School of Public Health, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
Fat hand out across the road, pecking gravel in the noonday sun. Shaking her tail like the queen of the yard, not minding anyone. But the farmer's wife had set the pot to boil and the dinner table was set. She had collard greens and a pot of baked beans, but she hadn't cooked the main course yet.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Now sometimes you gotta look back and see where you went wrong. If you can't do that, you won't be around too long. That hand should have seen it coming, a hatchet and a butcher block. But she was too wrapped up strutting her stuff to see the water was getting hot.
If you have any Coffee and Capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. This is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you. There's always an eye on you.
Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.
Tired of those empty recruiting promises that some companies make? Then apply today at Rockpile Energy Services. Known for their dedication to employees and their families, Rockpile knows that people are their biggest asset. All positions are on a 14 on and 7 off schedule and include a complete benefit package, housing allowance. Visit rockpileenergy.com for a complete listing of their open positions. Apply online or send your resume to careers@rockpileenergy.com. Find your future today at Rockpile Energy, an equal opportunity employer.
You've read the headlines, seen the news stories that the Bakken is hiring. Well, let me tell you about one of the top premier companies in the Bakken who is hiring, MBI Energy Services. They are hiring in all service areas throughout the Bakken. If you're looking for a rewarding career in the energy industry with an established North Dakota company, then look no further than MBI Energy Services, serving the Williston Basin and beyond since 1979. MBI offers comprehensive training, excellent pay, great benefits, and a variety of work schedules. Join a team that's in it for the long haul. Apply with MBI today. Visit MBIEnergyServices.com or call 844-MBI-JOBS to set up a same-day interview. That's 844-MBI-JOBS.